Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Hashtag No Limits, and I am your host, Shelley Kino. Hashtag No Limits is about people who society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. That is no easy task. And Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will become. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally has to dissolve into its cells, and then it reforms into the butterfly. And as if all of that's not complicated enough, it then has to struggle to get out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough to fly. And as I just mentioned a minute ago, that cannot be easy, changing from who we are to who we are going to be, but it's a transformational journey. And it is a wonderful journey, although difficult. And so today, I'm very excited to bring my guest to you. Lindsay and I just met a couple of weeks ago. We were at the same conference, the Illinois Council for Exceptional Children Conference. And she had a butterfly up as part of her display. And I, of course, had my butterfly up as part of my display. And so we were like, what's going on? Why are you using the butterfly? And we instantly connected. And it's been such a joy to connect with her. I can't wait to share just one of her books with you that I was able to purchase that day. But she's going to talk to you about all of that stuff. So Lindsay, enough about me babbling. Welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me and for sharing this time together. I really appreciate it. And just that connection of the butterfly and everything is just so incredible. So I really appreciate that part of the connection there as well. So thank you.
Yeah, I even have my butterfly earrings on today. I don't know if you can really tell that they're butterflies, but the fun story with that is my husband and I went to a gala for Spirit of Discovery Park. It's a theme park that's going to be for everybody in the St. Louis region. And there were these grab bags, these jewelry grab bags. And every bag had a minimum amount of the jewelry in it. But then there was one that had like a $700 or $800 value item in it. He grabbed one, you know, random grab. And it came out and it had these earrings. And I was like, well, then that was meant to be, because I needed earrings to go with my show. And now I have them and it's beautiful. So, yeah, so that was very cool. So tell me about your butterfly journey and why the butterfly is part of your advertising.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, very similar. I just find the butterflies so inspirational in all that we do. Like, we can connect through any cycle, any change in our life through the butterfly. And also just pulling it even back before the butterfly and honoring the caterpillar's journey as well. And, you know, realizing there's a quote. So you had that quote about, you know, not knowing who we're going to become. Mm-hmm. And there's one of my favorite quotes from Maya Angelou. And she shares, we admire the beauty of the butterfly, right? I'm forgetting it, but I have that.
But in rarely it. Admit the changes it has gone through to achieve that beauty. Yeah, yes. I had marked that because I was going to comment about that today too. So
I think that's just so important. And especially when we're talking about all of our learners and all of our journeys that we have in education and beyond education, but especially for us who are embarking on our journey within the exceptional learning space, both for families, both as perhaps even personally as well. So the butterfly itself just is such a powerful symbol to hold on to in every part of the journey. And, you know, I found that was really helpful within my company space as well. So I do coaching, and specifically wellness coaching. And I think even connecting back to the caterpillar again, and even the butterfly, it's always taking care of itself. It nourishes its body before it has to make that decision of whether it's going into the chrysalis or not. Like, it's having all of those different moments throughout our time, throughout our life, and throughout our journey, and especially in education. And then finally, it's also reminding us the importance of that transformation that needs to happen both within ourselves and within education. That's an ongoing process as well. So from early on, I love butterflies, but I didn't realize it until an adult. How it really connected with me throughout my life. So here we are.
Yeah, it is really crazy because I really don't think I had as much interest in the butterfly until I started in the world of special education. And then I, like, you know, Ophelia making that statement in Hamlet, like, I never really thought about it. But then there was a poster that I just saw it in a teacher's store, and it had that saying on it, and it had butterflies on it. And I went, oh, wow. You know, and so then I started making sure every year that I did a lesson on the caterpillar going, you know, the whole metamorphosis stage and, you know, from beginning to end. And we got to have our caterpillars and watch them go into their chrysalis and release the butterflies. And it was just, you know, and then I would use that as a lesson for my students that this is you. This is your journey. This is what you're going through. You know, it isn't the same journey as everybody else because you have other critters out there that, you know, they have a completely different journey, and that's okay. Everyone is valued. Everyone is important. Everyone has their special reason for being here, and the path that you have to take to get to your truest potential, your fullest potential, it might be a little bit more difficult than maybe somebody else's, but that means probably that you're just going to be that much more beautiful. Yeah. And it really, for a lot of my students, it really gave them like, oh, so I'm okay the way I am. And it's okay that I struggle. And it's okay that I have to, I mean, still they didn't like that they had to work harder, but at least it gave them some hope.
Right. That concrete piece of hope too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my classroom, so by day, I'm still within the classroom space as a special education teacher. And then outside of the classroom space, I, you know, do the children's books and all of those other pieces. But within my classroom, whenever we are transforming and one of my students, like, reaches their goal for that day, I have golden butterflies. And so they get to choose one. And then we are creating this entire space of just that progress and that transition to honor that phase and knowing, like, for us, how that beauty is within us and that potential is within us. And just, it's just such a beautiful process symbol. Yeah.
I wished I would have thought of that when I was teaching, because I can only imagine how many butterflies are all around your room and what a great encouragement that must be for that student that, you know, he's having or she is having a bad day on a particular day, but they can look up and go, hey, I remember that butterfly. That one's mine. Oh, that butterfly is mine. I accomplished that and I accomplished that. And that would give them that extra bit of encouragement that we know our students need, all students need, but I feel like our students need it more. And I don't know if there's any actual studies that go along with that, but that's just been my experience, is that our students in the special education world need that encouragement and that belief that I really am going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, and often within our space, like, you feel that like, I'm not good enough, or how come they can do it, or how come I can't do it yet? And that's right. Going into, like, you know, in your book, and you mentioned, like, can't, and hearing can't, and how disempowering. But then if we look in that space of can't and find that charge of empowerment, and, you know, even within your book, like, the stories of taking that can't and changing that, and it's that yet space, going still back to the butterfly, it doesn't even know that it's going to be a butterfly yet. Like, you have to trust the process and trust the learning and trust all the different experiences that we are given. But yeah, I mean, that is just very powerful.
Yeah, it is. And you use it in so many different ways. And Fran says, good afternoon from Southern Illinois. She's watching with us right now, hashtag live. So thank you, Fran. Hello. And so I do want to just bring up the book, because I did mention it and I did grab that quote as you were talking about it. So, I had another marking that just fell out. Big Change, Better You, Beautiful World. And it is such an amazing, encouraging book. And it just goes through, like, here's another one that I have marked. try it. And so you can, I know you'll get to that in a little bit, but one of the things that you say is sometimes you may have other words that you want to say to yourself, like, I am important. I am enough. I am curious. And having those positive statements instead of I'm scared or I can't do this or I'm not enough. I'm not important. Nobody likes me, whatever. I've read this multiple times already. And I mean, it's easy to read. It's, it is kind of a children's book, but
for all.
Yeah. And I mean, you go through, the stages, the stages of the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. And you talk about, what it must feel like as that caterpillar is making that transformation and their safety and all of that. So where did the idea come from for this book? And I mean, I know it's for everybody, but like, what is its purpose?
Yeah. Well, its initial purpose, it actually started within the pandemic. So back in 2020, when it was our pandemic first started, and I was on the phone with my friend, and she's like, I don't know how to support my child through this. I have no words. They're really struggling. Their anxiety is shifting a bit. And so I just shared just the concept of the butterfly through change. And really that's the purpose of the book, is to support all of our learners through change that our life brings, whether it's a big change or a small change. And then as that continues, she goes, you should write a book about that. So I did.
Well, I am glad she encouraged you to do that, because this is truly awesome. And as someone that has had anxiety and struggled with anxiety my entire life, I wished I would have had this when I was younger, because I really do think it put a lot of the thoughts that I was having down and how to handle those kinds of thoughts. And unfortunately for me, when I was young, there wasn't that thing known as anxiety. I often had doctors telling my parents and me, oh, it's just in her head, because they would do all these tests physically on me, because it was usually manifesting as stomach problems. And so they would do all these tests on my stomach and my intestines, and there would never be anything that could be found. Mm-hmm. And so then they would, oh, it's just in her head. She's just making it up. She just doesn't want to go to school. And they were right that it was in my head. They just didn't realize. And that's not what they meant.
Right.
But yeah, I have to stop talking about it and let you talk about it.
It makes my author heart happy though. Like, and that's the feedback that I've been given by so many people, is like, they read the book and then they'll read it again. And then you always get something different out of it. And, for me, I also am one that, I've had a lot of different aspects of anxiety and panic in my life and working through that. And that's where I became inspired by wellness and why I'm doing what I'm doing within the wellness space. And how can I make it concrete enough for sharing with children, but then really it's of all ages. And just because it's in a children's book doesn't mean it's only for children, but sometimes that's the avenue that all of us can connect with. And so whether you're a teacher or a parent who's reading the story alongside, like all of my books are meant to be alongside your children, class, child, they're also getting those strategies too. And also within the book, I model the validation language. So when emotions come up, what are those common sentences we can say? There are certain pages in the book that look very similar to each other, but that's intentional, because then you can go straight to that page and know, here's a strategy to support the social and emotional skills of the moment that's needed. And how can we do that together and move forward? Yes.
Yep. I keep going the wrong way. Like, where's my camera? Where am I showing?
So those try it moments. And once you read it once, you get that. You try it when you don't need it. But then when you do need it, you have it there. And it also turns into a social story, basically. So depending on the different types of emotions, you can pull up that particular page or set of pages and just read that together to work through those different emotions that we have or different changes and experiences that are going on.
Yeah, it is so powerful. And I really, another thing that you talk about in here is changing the what ifs, because as a person with anxiety, I know that's where my brain goes when the anxiety hits is, you know, well, what if this and what if that? And oh my gosh, this is going to, you know, and it just takes me, first of all, out of the moment and into a future situation. And then, yeah, what if I feel sad? What if I'm scared? What if I'm angry? What if I don't feel the same way as my family and friends? And you say, those are all valid and those are all kinds of thoughts and feelings. But what if you changed it to, I wonder? Mm-hmm. And that was like, oh, wow. You know, it was just another one of those, if I would have had that, I think that would have helped me. And I'm not in the classroom every day, so I haven't had an opportunity, and I don't really have, other than my husband who lives in my home. So I don't have a lot of opportunities to share it, but I just think, you know, what you said, doing it in a classroom or, you know, with your child alongside, as you said, is just going to be so powerful. And I haven't done this, but there is places within the book where you leave blanks and you actually encourage people to mark up their book.
The illustrator. Yes.
Yeah.
That's their own.
Yeah. That one is that your flower is your goal. Your flowers are like your goals. Yeah, it's so incredible. So I'm glad that you're getting good feedback from it. And it's not just me saying it, because I really do believe that it is going to help tons and tons of people. And I like at the end that they get to make their own butterfly and they get to color their own butterfly.
Well, that's my favorite. I have had so many like different classrooms where they'll like cut out the butterflies, so they can download all of those on my website. And just in case for those who are interested, it's www.thebutterflywithin.me. And they can download any of those different tools. So I have like different classrooms that have cut them out, and that becomes the reminder throughout the year. They've created bulletin boards. They at home, they just have it just available. So it becomes that visual of, okay, there's a change coming up. Remember the butterfly, you know, writing quotes around it, or actually writing and drawing the different changes within the wings. So, you know, it's just such a connected moment, both for in the classroom and outside of the classroom, for supporting through any and all changes. And you can add on to that butterfly as you change too.
Yeah. And one of the things that I found for you that is really great for some of my audience, because many members of my audience are teachers. Mm. And, you know, when I look at this book, I'm thinking children, but you are a coach for teachers. And so talk about that and talk about how the book can relate to that as well.
Absolutely. And I think the interesting thing there as well is, you know, there's a difference when we can learn strategies alongside our students versus I'm going to read a larger book that tells me what these strategies are. But when you can actually apply it alongside, and also as teachers, because we are naturally givers and we naturally, and parents, put ourselves typically last when really we need to be first so that we can continue to support in those spaces. But when we can actually pair it and be simultaneous, that was what really inspired me, was I can also integrate these practices and help teachers create and parents create what I call resilience plans. And so that involves them connecting to themselves, understanding the wellness space for themselves. But how can I do that simultaneous? And as I'm doing these practices, then I continue to share with either my child or my students. And so that's really where the coaching space is, because what a coach does is it helps you find the potential within you. It's not necessarily telling you what's the right thing to do. It's what works for you and how can you discover that on your own, just as the butterfly and the caterpillar find it within themselves too.
Yeah. And I think that would be very powerful, because a lot of times especially our children or our students, whichever genre you are as the adult person in that scenario, they don't see it happening for us. And so when it happens for us and we can alongside them, then they can go, oh, like I see that change. And the, and then you and the child can talk about like what you felt like, because I think a lot of times when kids are going through things, and you sort of hinted to that too, that, you know, it is kind of scary or can be kind of scary to go through those changes, but that doesn't mean that we don't go through them. Because we don't, we also don't want to stay the caterpillar, because then we don't reach our fullest potential. And so seeing a teacher, and I think for then for the, from the teacher's perspective, like, wow, I can kind of maybe feel what my student or my child is feeling as they're going through this. And I can talk to them about, you know, well, it hurts, or it's difficult, or it's scary, or, you know, and I feel like that, like you said, like the connection of that makes that transformation even more powerful. Mm-hmm. So that's an awesome, awesome thing. So, so I know that, you know, we were both at the Illinois convention. So are you, do you work with teachers only in Illinois? How does your practice work?
Yeah, so I work, my coaching's mainly online, so outside of the school day for my coaching. Most of it's online. I do have a couple of in-person, but being online allows that opportunity for anybody, anywhere to connect. I have an administrator, several administrators. I have teachers. I have parents. It really just depends on, you know, the connection that somebody has and what their goals are and what they want to accomplish, and if I'm a good fit for them as well. So, you know, online, again, you can always visit my website. It outlines the different possibilities for coaching. Also within schools. So sometimes you may want to connect as a school, and within that, allowing the mindfulness-based SEL practices to become a part of just your school culture. But I really enjoy as well, even just one-on-one coaching sessions or small group coaching sessions in regards to that wellness space. And as you can even see on the screen, what I really connect the most with is how we can and how we can empower ourselves as teachers and leaders. And we are discovering our potential all the time. We're always looking at what that could be. And that's really through heart-centered classrooms and lives. And heart here is capitalized because that's actually in connection to a strategy for my second book that I have recently that's come out. And it's The Superpower of Your Heart. And heart actually originated from my own practice within anxiety. But then I shared it with adults. And then I, again, needed to find a way of connecting it with children. And so why not write another book, right? So,
right. Exactly.
So that goes through health, environment, affirmation, response, and transform. And so you learn through the book how that really connects when you're making those decisions. And within our world, there's so many decisions that need to be made moment by moment. And we're noticing the importance that decisions need to have to help propel our world forward. So we have to become superheroes, and we have to embrace that superpower within our heart. And then there's that teacher's guide within it. And as parents as well, you're teachers too. And so that guide walks you through step by step on how you can integrate that practice. That's an ongoing. They're not just books to read one time. They're books that are ongoing practices for classroom climate and management, for behavior, for all those different elements within our spaces to create that condition for learning and success.
Another book that I wish I would have had when I was teaching, because in my last year of teaching, my theme for my entire classroom was superheroes.
Oh, yes.
So this would have fit just perfectly. And yeah, I've always been the kind of person that I haven't just focused on the academics. I've always looked at the whole child, because I've always believed that if you, and this was even before I found out that there is actual science behind this, that, you know, if you're not in the right emotional state, you're not going to be able to learn as much, you know? And so even before I realized that that's an actual scientific fact, I was doing that. I was working with the kids and trying to make sure that they were confident in themselves and that their self-esteem was at a level where they believed in themselves, even a little bit. And I guess that was probably based on my own lifestyle, on my own life of having that anxiety when I was younger and dealing with all of those things. But I'm so glad, but I'm also sad that it's becoming known now. So I'm sad that it's a thing, that it really is a thing, and that but at the same time, I'm happy that we're learning you need to work with the whole child. You need to know about the social emotional needs of your child. School is not just about academics. We have to encompass everything. So this is really fantastic that you have this, and congratulations. Yes. I saw on the other page that you are, it's not going now, that you are a finalist for that.
Yes. Both of them actually have been finalists in different things, but I just found out this past week that that book has now become a finalist for the illustrations. So
that's so awesome. That's Fantastic. Congrats. And for anyone who I don't know if I have any Spanish speaking audience members, but the Big Change, Better You, Beautiful World book is available in Spanish. Mm-hmm. So is it available in any other languages, or do you have plans to make it available in other languages?
At this point, it is just in English and Spanish. There was at one point I was considering Braille. So I would, yes. but it's been a little bit of a process with that. And also, I am a self-published author. So maybe one day I'll be able to do that. But that's also an interesting fact within that book. You know, you once a special educator, always. And so when I was writing through it, there was the very first tool, there's two options, but you don't have two options for other tools. Well, that's because of the accessibility part. And there was one that option about looking around for the colors. Well, maybe not all of us have the ability to be able to view that or that option. So then another option was to be able to move our bodies for the tingly 20. And again, but maybe not all of us have that opportunity to be able to move our bodies in that way. So giving that option and knowing the importance of accessibility and making sure that everybody has an opportunity in the way that fits them to experience all of those different experiences and tools.
Yeah. So before I stop sharing from your website, is there anything that you want me to specifically show or focus on that I haven't already?
You know, I think what might be a helpful, if you go underneath learning and go to mindfulness-based SEL, the second one. So mindfulness means just being present, fully here and now with our body, breath, emotions, and thoughts. And so that is an opportunity for all of our learners and ourselves to be fully present. And so within on this page, you can find out more information about that. I'm currently also the president of the Coalition of Schools Educating Mindfully. And we have a new micro-credential for MBSEL, Mindfulness-Based SEL. And I'm actually one of the instructors on there as well. And so there's information on there and how we can be integrating both our mindfulness practices alongside SEL, which is really working from the inside out and the outside in simultaneously. And so finding those powerful practices within there in that space. So that is a good resource that also has linked like different podcasts. I will definitely be linking your podcast as a resource on my website. But yes, you can see information there, and any other learning opportunities are found underneath the learning category. And then also for my classes, I'm also a certified yoga instructor for kids and adults, as well as a mindfulness meditation teacher. So for my coaching partnerships, I always offer that for them. But I also, throughout the year, I offer opportunities to connect in that wellness space too. So you can always take a look at the classes and see if there's anything They are typically online because I do span across a lot of different places, but that is, I always have the trauma-informed accessibility lens on when I'm guiding my classes that I have. So those are some helpful resources that are kind of hidden a little bit for us today.
Yeah. So could you speak to that a little bit more, the trauma-informed classroom? I'm actually leading a book study right now on Fostering Resilient Learners is the name of the book.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing.
Really? That's so funny. Just talk about that because I don't know, I know there's a lot of information out there, but I don't know that a lot of people really understand why it's necessary and why it's, well, I think people understand what trauma is, but just kind of explain it.
Yeah. We'll need a whole other podcast.
Right. I was like, yeah, just explain it, Lindsay. It's no big deal.
Yeah. And again, not to make that lighthearted of that space or to discount any of that, but it's very true. There's a lot to it. And that's also why for me, I also consider that heart-centered. Because different people connect with that differently, whether it's trauma-informed, trauma-sensitive, trauma-informed care. Like there's a lot of different words out there. And so for me, that's also that what I mentioned, just that heart-centered. It's, I don't know your story. You don't know my story. I don't know what has been a part of your life and you don't know what's happened in my life. And so it's creating spaces that are safe for everybody. It's being aware that at any moment, anything that we say, do, hear, like anything, all of our senses are activated potentially. And so for some of our learners and adults, anybody, we have to have care within the environments that we're creating. And so it's finding how, like, for example, like choice. Right. So often when somebody experiences a traumatic event, a choice was removed from that experience. And so finding how we can connect powerful practices to create a safe and brave, courageous space for everybody who's there. I've had instances where even a song or a genre of music has been something that is not a safe place for someone. So you're always, aware of the environment. And I feel like as special educators, we are so good at this. We are so good at our spidey senses of knowing like, okay, does someone feel safe and comfortable right now? We are so good at finding out, okay, like I'm doing something this way that doesn't seem to be matching what's happening within the student and how they're receiving it and adapting it. And so I feel like as special educators, we naturally do these things without even knowing. And so it's empowering our general education teachers the same thing. Like, normally when I host these events and maybe at the end we can do this, like I wouldn't mind leading us in the mindfulness practice, but having that opportunity, for example, like if I invite you to close your eyes, if that were to be a safe option for you, that's an invitation. It's not a requirement because sometimes if someone closes their eyes, that's a very activating experience and it's not a safe place to be. So we have those different layers, right? But then we also have like what an experience that may be traumatic to you may not be traumatic to somebody else. And so understanding that we can't assume anything either just because something has happened. And that's why we don't always need to know what happened. We just need to know those practices to create a safe space. And then finally with that, there's so many different like types of trauma. We're most recently, even within like the global trauma space and with the pandemic, because really we have had a shared experience that has impacted our world and has had lasting impact, right? It's something that happens for a long period, an impact on you for a long period of time. It doesn't necessarily have to be an ongoing, it could be a quick moment that has been traumatic. So there's a lot of different pieces there. There's a lot of research out there, a lot of resources out there. And you can always like ACEs, the adverse childhood experiences, that is something that you'll hear and connect with the studies within that. So I'd encourage anybody here today, just if you're interested in it, just you can start just learning about that and reaching out to resources to support.
Yeah, I just recently, after the ICEC conference, I was a presenter at a juvenile justice council conference, and a lot of the kids who were in, if not all, in the juvenile justice system have experienced some sort of trauma. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what I have seen and what has been shared with me, this is my second time attending that conference, is that is inadvertently thought of as a, well, they can't learn factor because they've experienced trauma. Mm. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Mm. So I would say there is a little bit of truth into that, because when trauma happens, parts of our brain shut down. And I model brain, that's actually what I do. Yes. You know, we're in this constant state of fight or flight or freeze or appease. And when that happens, our brain is not, it's not online. Our prefrontal cortex is not online to learn. So we're always in this space of the emotions. We're in the space of reaction. We're in the space, like, and even stress in general, and not to say that they're on the same space, but the same parts of the brain are activated with that. So stress and trauma have the parts of the brain that are activated or not activated. And that's where also mindfulness is a heart-centered or trauma-informed practice, because the same parts of the brain, it's almost like I refer to it like kryptonite, like it takes the power away from the traumatic and stress levels within the brain and helps the brain to come back online. So there is that of physically the brain not being open to learning. But then if we're stating that just because they've had an experience, meaning that they can't learn, well, we need to take that step back and realize, well, we need to figure out how we could create that space and the conditions for learning to happen, because we absolutely can learn. And once we have those trauma-informed practices in place and structures in place, then we are creating those conditions, as I've mentioned before. There's a lot of aspects to that, but that's why it's important for us to be fully aware. And the biggest thing that I think is the takeaway within trauma or in that space is there's also research that shows the importance of relationships and how it takes even one solid, meaningful relationship in that child or person's life to change the trajectory that trauma could potentially have. And, you know, mentioning too, there are studies you can look up on the CDC, just all of the different impacts that trauma and the more events that have happened in your life, the more other indicators there are that impact your health. And so by having a solid relationship, you're able to kind of reverse some of those different pieces. Again, not reversing trauma, not taking away from what happened, right, but being able to move forward from what has been there and coexist alongside with those opportunities there.
Yeah. So the reason I keep looking down is because I was trying to find, in case you didn't know, the gentleman who has the video about that. Do you know his name?
Dr. Dan Siegel. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I was like, I know it. And so when I said it's in this book, it's not in her book.
No.
It's in this Fostering Resilient Learners
book.
Yes,
he can't. He's developed that. He's one of the main researchers within that space. Yeah.
Yeah. So he has a YouTube video out there where he talks about, you know, and he uses his hand to describe the brain and kind of how, that's why she was doing that. Because yeah, I'm not into it enough to know. I just recognize that, because I'm like, oh yeah, we watched that video because it's recommended to watch in this book. And it does give a really good example of what it's like and how the brain works. And yeah. So you mentioned, you know, we've all had the trauma of the global pandemic. However, some people are not as affected by it. Just like you said, a trauma for one person is not a trauma for another person, or I'm not sure if it's not a trauma or if it just doesn't have the lasting effects, maybe is the way to say it. And so again, what you said was, you know, we don't have to know everybody's background to just be aware that we don't know everybody's background. Mm-hmm. And to be watchful of those sort of signs. And it's, there aren't a list of, okay, these are the 10 signs to watch for. That would make it so much easier. And there isn't, but there are some things, you know, I mean, if somebody is normally extroverted and now they're withdrawn, or the opposite, or, you know, if they just, you know, like you said, it's just not seeming to resonate with somebody the way that it is for everybody else. And, how can we help our teachers right now through, you know, because most of what we've talked about so far has been more geared towards children, but, and most of what I talk about actually tends to be about their experiences, but how can we help teachers? Because teachers are, they're almost in a constant state of being traumatized repetitively because of the pandemic, because of society. I mean, when I was growing up, teachers were very well revered and respected. And if you got in trouble in school, there was no question about it. You were, you know, the teachers were right. And now we've gone to this, teachers are never right. And teachers are not doing things correctly. And they need to do more. And so how do you help teachers in your coaching business? What would you suggest to them? I know, I'm asking you really easy questions with really short answers.
Well, and there's just, you know, you're bringing up a lot of different pieces there. And I think that goes to the power of coaching too, because there's not one thing to share. And it depends on the situation, depends on the community, depends on your class and your students and you as well. You know, and I like to think of also what your point of surface. I'm trying to like digest all the questions, but you know, it's as if I like to also think of the can, and you've probably seen that too, but like we're like a shaken can a lot. And when I'm connecting with students and I'm sharing mindfulness with them, I have them go around and shake a can. And that's all of our thoughts and experiences. So we're like that shaken can. But then as teachers, what's happened is we've then covered that can with content, is what I like to kind of imagine, not like to imagine, but right. So we've covered in content, but it's only a matter of time before the bubbles explode. And so I think that's also what we're seeing right now is we were shaking can pre-pandemic, right. But we're even more shaken, and we probably turned into a 2-liter instead of a can with even more layers of content, which again, we were quote unquote behind, which I get, but who's really, you know, like,
right.
You know, yeah. What I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so when we haven't taken the time to process as a community, to honor all of those different experiences within the education space, and we have that responsibility to do, when we haven't done that, then that's when we see the burnout rate. We are seeing the potential turnover rate. I mean, the different articles that are coming out about teachers leaving, you know, the stress, all of those different layers that I don't need to tell you about, because we know and we feel personally. And as parents too, I know you feel that as well. So we have to create that processing space in a way and honor the fact that, yeah, I'm going to take us a couple steps back, mindfulness-based SEL. Like we're going back over there because as you shared, you didn't have those strategies when you were growing up. You just read my book. You're like, I wish I had that. And
Right.
So that's the preventative care. That's the prevention. One of my good friends, Matt Dwar, he shared about being a preventionist. And I love that. Imagine if we are preventionists instead of interventionists. If we can invest prior to needing the intervention, that's mindfulness-based SEL. And so if we can do that in advance and for ourselves, because we're simultaneously doing that alongside of our students, we are addressing our care. We are addressing what we need, but then also creating and sharing. And it is proven as well, even if you are the only person doing the practice, that actually impacts your entire classroom because of our mirror neurons that are within us. And so by you just doing your own practice, you are creating that safe space. So that's the prevention, and that's what we need. And that's what I coach into in helping you to be a preventionist and not an interventionist.
Okay. So you mentioned a little while ago that maybe towards the end, we could do up to 15 more minutes, but that you could maybe walk me through one of your mindfulness sessions.
Yeah.
So go ahead and do that.
Oh, beautiful. All right. Yes. Yeah, so, and for those of you who are listening or viewing now or in the future as well, we invite you as well. So before we get started, what this would look like, it's a quick strategy as well. I call it a five-step moment. So I'll invite you to settle in. And then I'll invite you to check in with your body, breath, emotions, and thoughts. And that's not judging anything. That's just being aware of what's present. And that helps us to know what, when we're talking with kids, superpower we want to have or need in that moment if we wish to change. With adults, that is just for us to realize, okay, what do I need right now in this moment to continue to be in that presence, in that space? Because really our presence is the best gift we can give. So then after we check in, we'll do a moment. And so for today, I'll invite a space of just that intention and being. So maybe through breath, but I'll give options because sometimes breath may or may not be a safe place for everybody. And then we'll check out, meaning with your body, breath, emotions, and thoughts again, if there's been any changes. And then we'll close out and I'll welcome you back. And just reorienting yourself back into the space. So that is the five-step moment. So for those of you who maybe are interested in trying something, you can just even explore that even within your space or within yourself. All right?
Okay.
All right. So wherever you are, just go ahead and take a moment to settle in. Maybe that's sitting back. Maybe it's sitting tall. Maybe it's standing, or if you're walking, just allowing yourself maybe to notice the bottoms of your feet, or if you're driving, just being fully present, maybe even noticing how the steering wheel feels. And just settle in and choosing if you wish to have your eyes open. Maybe they're looking nearby, maybe even closed if that's safe and comfortable for you. And then maybe just being aware of the sounds that are in the space and knowing you're fully safe in this moment. And perhaps even letting yourself mention and say in your mind or to your heart, I am safe. And then taking a moment to check in with your body, breath, emotions, and thoughts, just what's present. Noticing maybe if the breath is in the belly. Maybe it's higher in the lungs or nose. Maybe noticing any thoughts that are present, emotions, just whatever is present. And for a moment here, we'll focus on our breath, and if you prefer a texture, maybe you're noticing where your hands may be and just connecting to that texture. But I'll guide us through the breath for a moment and just aware of how it's breathing, not changing anything. The steady in, the steady out. maybe even noticing that pause between each breath, knowing that that pause is a reminder for us that we can pause too. And maybe in that pause, you can even set a special affirmation for the rest of your day. And then taking three more breaths here, maybe breathing in that affirmation or breathing in that pause and letting it go. And two more on your own speed, breathing in as you're ready. Now, as you're ready. And after your third breath, check back in with your body, breath, emotions, and thoughts, just what's present. Noticing if there have been any changes. And begin to close out and welcome yourself back, maybe opening your eyes if they were closed or taking another breath in. Maybe looking around the room or space where you are and noticing just a color. Coming back and with a smile for the rest of the day and the time and day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And wow, if we could do that in a classroom setting a couple of times or more a day, I mean, because it only took 4 or 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just give everybody that opportunity or in a workspace. I mean, I didn't think I needed it. I was pretty calm and relaxed, but I feel even more calm and more relaxed and definitely noticed changes when it first started and you asked me to, you know, kind of notice my body. My foot was tapping and I do that a lot. It's just, it constantly, you know, it just moves. And then at the end, it wasn't doing that anymore. And it wasn't anything that I consciously told it to stop. So
yeah. Well, and it allows the nervous system to kind of come back online and come back to regulate and just bring awareness to things. And sometimes we may not be aware at all. And I always say, like, just allow it to be a space of possibilities, right? You know, you said doing that throughout the day, maybe as teachers, we can put into our schedule those certain moments, because also through leading, you're also gaining that benefit. And I would say, and I would encourage you to lead it as you're doing your own practices as well. You know, that's just that mindfulness space. It's creating that sense of presence and being so that learning is able to happen and focus is ready to happen and understanding who you are as well. You know, being aware of those signs that our body is giving us. And, you know, it is a misconception often that after doing that, we'll feel that calm and relaxed space. But that's not always the case either. It's just letting us know what's happening right now. And sometimes you may feel even more like agitated, but that's just meaning you're aware of that. And now you can have that superpower choice to choose. What are you going to do next about it? Do you want to continue that space or do you want to make a change? And so that all works together within that. And it allows us as adults and our students and as parents to know and be what's that next step? What would we like to do? And are we ready and focused to learn or to be together?
Yeah. Thank you. That is, it's been very joyful and very enlightening to me to chat with you today. Like I said, we still have about 6 or 7 minutes. And so I want to make sure, I always try to do this at the end with my guests, that you have gotten to share what you wanted to share. And if not, you know, we've got a few minutes for you to try to get whatever else in.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely took a big journey today. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is just knowing that all the work that we do matters. You know, you matter. Everything, every moment is a celebration and an opportunity. And if we can find those opportunities to be able to share, the opportunity to be, and the opportunity to see that potential in that butterfly, I mean, that's the biggest message that we can continue to share ongoing and just believe in the process and know and trust and know that there's a big support system out there and to find those resources to help support Thanks.
Yeah. So Fran had said earlier, and I didn't pull it up there, that I am statements are great. Mm-hmm. And just now she said, thank you. And yeah, I liked how you said that. We've been on a little journey. We have covered a lot of areas, but there's so much about what you do that is so incredibly important and needed and unknown to so many people. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to like grab as many little pieces as I could to try to get out there, you know, so that hopefully just a nugget that you were able to share today will resonate with someone, and whether they reach out to you or someone that they, you know, are already aware of in their area or know personally, and seek out those kinds of things, because I think it's very needed in all areas right now, but I really, in the education world, think that it's needed more than right. some other areas. And go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to just mention too, like for those of you who are listening as well and viewing now or in the future as well, you know, you can always reach out on my website. Again, it's down below. But I do 30-minute sessions for a complimentary session for the first time, just to see if we are a good fit for each other. So you can absolutely connect there. And then also, if you want to reach out and email me, you can find my email contact on my website as well. But especially for this podcast, email me letting me know that you watched this. And then I'll give you a special discount code for my teacher's guide for my new book as well. And that's aww. From now and in the future. But email me letting me know that you watched this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. Thank you. That's wonderful. Yeah, I mean, of course, my heart is with students and teachers. And so I'm always trying to find ways to help both groups, because outside of parents, and parents are my people too, but teachers have my heart because I am one. I'm a parent too, but I'm sounding all confuddled here, but
heart, but you have a special place.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think that I think it's partially because I'm guilty of kind of harping on gen ed teachers myself. And so I think now I might be trying to make up for those times when I did that. But I just know how stressful and how much teachers give of themselves that isn't often recognized and is often downplayed or disregarded or just like told it's not enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so just trying to make sure that they know that they're loved and that they, you know, they do have a friend out in the society now that's not in the classroom every day, but still tries to stick up for teachers and, you know, just talk about the things that teachers do and provide and all the time, every day, and not just Monday through Friday from 8 to 3.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate this opportunity and being able to share and just continue this work and believe in that butterfly and knowing that power of coaching and you as a coach as well. So, you know, we are in this space together as co-creators. So I very much appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Fran, for joining. And thank you, anyone else who catches this in the replay. Let us know, like she said, whether you're watching it now or in the future. And hopefully we can help you, or that the mindfulness exercise that she did during this episode will help you put that on replay and do that, you know, several times. And then also reach out to her and ask her for more. As it said, it's on the bottom of the screen here. And if you need to reach out to me, you know how to do that as well. So thank you all very much for joining. And if I see that all of a sudden the numbers just jumped up of the people that are joining, so I don't know if we have some people had the wrong times, but it'll be in replay in like 5 minutes. You can watch it then. So thanks, everyone. I will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelley Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelley Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelley Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shelleykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shelleykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.